Okay, reading from chapter 17 in the book of St. Matthew's. If you've got your Bibles, we'll read together. And I'd like to comment just a little bit here. Say a few things, and I would like to say some things concerning faith, if I could. When I say if I can, I know that I can. All things are possible to them that believe. But to be able to say them to where they will be received, or where you will, you know, to have an atmosphere that they might be received. Someone would say, well, Brother Pike, isn't everything that's said received? Yes, yes. Everything that we say is received as to one way or another. But Jesus gave the parable saying, and these fell among thorns, and they were received. And some fell on stony ground. Some fell along the wayside, and the fowls devoured them up. Some fell on good ground, and the Bible said in that they did, that they brought forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, as we say. And so I like to have a real good receptive heart, that when I say these things, that they're not lost. The Bible said, give the more earnest heed to the things that ye have heard, lest at any time ye should let them slip. Or seeing that the words that were spoken to the angels received a just recompense and reward for every transgression, then how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? So, these that, as to the angels, kept not their first estate, the Bible said God cast them down, and they are bound in chains of darkness unto that great day, and then shall be cast into the furnace of fire. I want to preach, I want to talk about God, but I want you to give the earnest heed, to take heed how that you hear, lest at any time you should let them slip, or take heed how that you hear, that you can incorporate these into your life, because these are words of spirit. And they are words of life. They are heavenly treasure. The Son of God himself came all the way down to glory and gave the blood out of his veins through suffering that, according to scientific definition, no man has ever experienced nor ever will experience, according to what they have defined it to be. And through this, he came down to bring us these heavenly treasures, which the Bible says, and now is made known unto the church, the manifold wisdom of God, even to this heavenly treasure, as to this manifold wisdom and understanding of God from heavenly places. We now have this in our earthen vessels, and that we're taken out of the dust. We now have this within our earthen vessels, which means the knowledge of God that spoke the diamonds into existence, the world into existence, the rubies, the pearl, the gold, and the silver, and that made the human being and the beautiful peacocks and the birds and the animals, the seas and the species, all of the radiance of heaven and of earth, whether it be moon, stars, whatever it is. See, and this heavenly treasure, which is the Word of God, is what we're interested in. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. He that God sendeth will speak God's Word. God sent his word and healed them. Even Jesus has been made flesh. The word healed them. And today the word still is with us. The same to 1,000 generations. Unchanged and unaltered. And the Bible said it will not return to God void. It will accomplish that he pleases. Prosper in that whereunto it. That he has sent it shall not be altered or changed. It is forever settled in heaven. He watches over his word to perform it. So then now you have the word today. The Bibles of the Jews had it in their days, but it did not profit them, and that was not mixed with faith. Now we have it today, and now it's up to us as to whether it's going to profit us, as to whether we're going to mix faith with it. And of course, when you say mix faith with it, that calls for a little effort. The Bible said faith without works is dead. No, you're not a vain man, that faith without works is dead. I try to get you to properly differentiate, as to realize that when I say that, I'm not speaking of the faith of Christ in the sense of your works. It is true that the faith of Christ must have works. And it does have works. Even as he said unto them, what must we do to work the works of God or Christ? He said, and this is the works of God was finished from the foundation of the world. I am the works of God. Believe on me. Believe on me. And as it is written, out of your innermost being, as to your belly shall flow rivers of living water. And you will draw water out of the wells of salvation with joy. Of course, you being the wells. So I said that again to say this, and that is that these words are present with us. And what a challenge for the word, which is the gospel of God, is the power of God, not only unto salvation, but his word healed them. With his word, he cast out the unclean spirits. His word said, let there be, and a world came into existence. His word created me and you. His word is the great, wonderful word of life, of spirit, of power, of magnificence. And to you, God desired that ye should become the word. Let me say this in a kind of a simplicity here. We are called to minister to the needy, to the poor. Now, someone would say, well, I know that you are because you are a preacher. Now, that's not right. We are the body of the Lord Jesus. And he said, go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. Well, that is to say, it is not I, as a preacher, that's commissioned to go into all the world. And you, should Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free? Or is there a cross for everyone, a cross for you and me? That's what the songwriter said. See, do you have a job? Do I have a job? Are you a member of the body? Am I a member of the body? Are we the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, members in particular? Doesn't God dwell on the inside of you just like he dwells on the inside of me? Then as to whatever my measure is, whether it be small or great, whatever your measure is. Someone would say, well, what do you mean, Brother Pike, as to a measure? I mean whether you are a babe in Christ or whether you're growing on to the full measure, the full stature, to go on to the full reward. I know that we're ordained to the full measure, the full stature, even collectively speaking, as to the head. Or what I'm saying is, you might be a babe, but that little Christ is on the inside of you. And I'm here, Paul said, I travail till Christ be formed within you. And the mother, which is the church, is to watch after the little ones. Jesus said, feed my lambs if you love me. And as to a father, Paul said, though you may have 10,000 instructors as to the gospel, but you have but one father, I've begotten you as a father in the gospel. I'm jealous of you. For I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy. Not as to a selfishness, as to a jealousy, the Bible speaks of it being as cruel as the grave, as to a human, confined, torturous thing, but as a God jealousy of love and liberty and freedom, wanting you to become one of liberty and life, wanting to present you to God, body, soul, and spirit, blameless, having espoused you to one, even as the bride of Christ to Jesus, the groom, I seek to present you without spot. All right. So, this life on the inside, we go to do something. And when we go to do something, it depends on how much that we have yielded our body. Brother Taylor sings that little song. And how much that he can do, it depends on me and you. So then, God being a spirit, he hath already wrought salvation. He hath already given us eternal life. He hath already sanctified us once and for all. He hath already made us perfect forever. He hath already glorified us. We are already a finished product. We are already, as in Christ, perfect, glorified, eternal, alive forevermore. We are already rich in knowledge and wisdom, and we don't have to do anything to get it. It was given to us in Christ before the world ever was, because he foresaw that we would be the seed of God. and that we would be the elect. So we've always been safe and secure. Always had this. Now, and that it was given to us before the world ever was, it was brought to light at Calvary. As to the rent veil, when the veil as to the covering cherubs was moved back, and then the ark of his covenant as to the mind of Christ, even the spirit of Christ, Christ from within the body of the veil of Jesus, when it was brought forth as to be made known, then this was made known to us. And now then, it is preached to us down through the church ages by the wonderful Spirit of God is through the seven spirits of Christ. So when the Christ stepped out as to the invisible God, as to the personified one, then he stepped out of that body to step into our body, and to step into our body according to the measure of allowance. Faith is an acknowledgement of truth with confidence. An acknowledgement of confidence. See, when you acknowledge truth by confidence of heart, that is believing, that is faith. Faith is an open door that God can come through. Faith is a form of surrender that when you say, God says, the word is thus and thus, you say, yea and amen. Or as to what you did believe, you don't believe it anymore. You surrendered your believing to his believing because of his mind. Thus soon you have the mind of the Lord Jesus as to whatever measure you make allowance for. And so then that means that the entrance of thy word, as the writer said, giveth light, which means understanding. So if that is true, then as to Christ on the inside of me, it is according to the measure that I allow of him to be on the inside of me. So we don't do anything to get salvation, anything to get the blessings of healing, anything to have an eternal abode with God. And all that's finished. We had nothing to do with it before I was ever born into the world. As the prophet said, I'm called to be a prophet. Judas, before he ever came into the world, the Bible said, let another his bishopric take. He was a devil from the time that Jesus first laid eyes on him. He said, you are a devil, or one of you is a devil. There's a world of difference as to being a devil and being attacked as Peter was by a devil when it was said as to when Satan attacked Peter, said, get behind me, Satan. See, and Peter was saved from that thing, whereas Judas was not. So then you are predestinated, the Bible said, according to his foreknowledge. For them that he foreknew, God did also predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. And he hath chosen us in Christ as his workmanship in Christ unto good works, having predestinated us unto sonship, having made us perfect by what he wanted us to be in, that he made Jesus to be that, and then accredited that to us. And what we are as to that that he hates, he accredited that as to Jesus, even the body of God, as to being God's body, Jesus, or Christ as to God personified in a human form. See, accredited our sins as to Jesus, and thus he became our sins that we might become his righteousness, our sins to death and in death and separation from God, eternal separation from God, that we might become life, his life in Christ, and an eternal one as to an eternal presence within God's presence. So all that's taken care of. But now, when we come to faith, as to faith with works, then we are saying that which you have to do. I say, Brother Taylor, I put you $1 million in the bank. It is now in my name. Now, all you got to do, Brother Taylor, is to get rid of your name, because I don't like your name. I don't like your name because you've been brought up in a family, and in that family, you know, we speak of foster parents and whatever. Or we speak of adoption. I say, you know, you were stolen off from me when you was a little child. And now you come back home, get rid of that name, take my name, and then all my wealth that belongs to you as a son is for you. And then I indoctrinate Frank until my spirit is placed within Frank, as it was said, as to Moses' spirit putting upon them people. See, as to the spirit of Elijah coming in John the Baptist. So finally, as a woman's spirit, a man's spirit goes into a woman's spirit, and she becomes one with the man. Thus she is bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. No more twain, but as to the mystery of the church, one in Christ within us, as to being his bone and flesh. The great mystery concerning the church. So then if Frank does that, all he's got to do is go in my name. Everything's already there. But it's up to him to deny self. Up to him to change his way of life when I indoctrinate him by my mind. It's up to him to conform to my ways and my desires as to what sonship was had he had stayed with me coming up. Whereas in Frank's life, this is really true, because Frank was adopted into a family, to naturally speaking, and it actually happened to him as to the natural. But instead of going back to, as it would be, his natural true parents, he come to love the others, and they were real parents to him. And then the final analysis was that he become my son in the gospel. So this is the way it is with some of you that are men and women alike, boys and girls. You're my sons and daughters in the gospel. Not as to as a natural father, but as having begotten you as a father in the gospel. And that throughout eternity you will be within the God family. And there won't be any changing of father or mother. And there won't be any changing of brother and sister. You have at last come to your true family. And the other will fade into nothing, and there won't be any remembrance of them. They'll all be gone. Unless that natural family of yours, of course, is Christians. And if they are, then they're part of your God family and they'll be there. All right. Reminds me of something Brother Branham said when he was caught up beyond the veil, sit down like on a throne, and the different ones run to him, and he saw his wife, which was young and beautiful, as he termed it, and said she run to him and said, "My brother, my brother, my precious brother." Not as to the dirty, filthy, slimy doings of your natural brother down here that'll defile the sister, or the sister will give herself to her brother as inset. Not that dirty, filthy way of life. But I'm talking about a precious, darling one that loved you and you love him, as to godliness in Christ, as to all purity. What does the Bible say concerning the sisters in the church and the brothers? That we should love one another with all purity. In this, I just want to say this before I read here. And that is, God within you, he can utilize your ability as to whatever measure you yield. And whatever that measure is of you that you yield to him, then so is the measure within you. God having resurrected from the dead, given gifts unto men, dealt unto every man the measure of faith. So then, that's what you are. As to living an overcoming life, as to going to preach the gospel, as to going to testify, to do something for God in your capacity of operation. Whatever your talent might be, whatever your zeal might be, that's what you are all the days of your life. No matter what you try to tell yourself, that's what you are, the child's known by his doings. And the Bible said to prove as to whatever your faith is, and then rejoice over whatever you are, that all may see. That way you don't think too highly of yourself, but you think soberly, according to the measure of faith that's dealt with to you. Okay, now, I said that to say this. If I go into the foreign fields, which I do, to preach the gospel, I can only present to them whatever measure of Christ I have, or God can only work through me as to whatever measure of Jesus I am. So I would like to be the full measure, the full stature, to the full man Christ Jesus, that when I went, that God could, in his fullness, utilize my potentialities and my ability and release himself through me to the people. Great would be my reward, as it was with Jesus, to the fullness of God dwelling within Jesus. And every man that be perfect shall be as his master. So in this, I go, I try to fast, to pray, I try to do whatever I can to be able to be in condition to utilize my little potentials. Okay, and yet it's not little as to the greatness of that that's within you. The Bible said God is able to do abundantly and above all that you can even ask or think by that Christ of that which dwelleth within you. So, my faith is working by his love. Maybe we'll explain a little bit of that this morning. So, I go into the far fields, and in this, if I have yielded to the full measure, then It is God standing there. God has gone to visit the people. And there God stands. And as the Bible said, we are standing in God's stead, beseeching the world to be reconciled back to God. And someone would say, well, oh no, Brother Pike, that couldn't be God. Yes, that would be God. For Paul said, it is not I that liveth, but it is God. It is Christ that liveth within me, and the life I now live, I live by the Son of God. Being dead, being buried by the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, then I no longer am as to what I was when I came into this world, but now I am forever what I've always been in the full knowledge of God as to what I will always be as to the coming eternity. See, and such as I am now as to what, when Moses went down into Egypt, saying, I am, has sent me. So then when they said, and who sent you? Moses said, as Jesus, I am he. I am he. That is, as Jesus said, no man taketh my life from me. I lay this down on myself. I came of my own accord to the extent that I was willing. And yet the Father sent me as to let whosoever will. So then we stand there in whatever measure we are as to what we have become in the body as to the body of the Lord Jesus, as to flesh of his flesh, bone of his bone, members in particular. Then we are God to the people as to that measure. And they are looking at us, and the Bible said it's not us speaking, but God speaking from within us, we being the temple of God, God's within his temple. Let every man be a liar, let the word of the Lord be true, or God be true. And when God speaks, and they shall all be taught of God, and judgment shall begin at the house of God. And whosoever sins ye remit, as my Father sent me, so send I you. So as I am, so are ye in me. And he was God. All right, so then we know that we are the body of God. For God had but one body that was the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, members in particular. So then whatever measure we come to be of the body of the Lord Jesus, whatever measure of the Spirit we allow to live in us as God, then thus are we as to the God body, as to the member of the God body. See, so we go to the people because God as to the head is absent and only the member is there. So somebody comes to my door and they knock on my door and they say, good morning. Who are you? And my wife says, I'm Mrs. George Pike. Who are you? All right. So then, no longer twain, but one, the great mystery of God as concerning you and the God body as to the church. See, so the head is coming back one of these days, but right now the mind is here. And the mind that dwells in that same head is already here. As to whatever measure, as to whatever we allow, as to whatever we come to, as whatever it might be. As to this member, as during the time that Brother Pike is not home, Sister Pike may be there. And as to the church, so ye are. As in Christ, so ye are in him. Ah, God's workmanship in Christ. I say this to you to help you that Satan don't create a snare for you that you might understand. You know, and they said to Jesus, we seek Jesus of Nazareth. He said, I am he. I am he. So then, when you go to get ready for church, stop and think. When you come into the house of God, know how to behave yourself in the house of God, the ground and pillar of the truth. Take heed how that you hear. Remember that you're being judged. The great judgment is there and the courts are open. And it is being determined as to what you're going to be. See, so be sure that from faith to faith as you listen, understanding to understanding, with wisdom get understanding, because there's a great light called understanding. This light, the wicked shall not understand, but the righteous shall understand. If this gospel be hid, it be hid to them that are lost. Satan, even the god of this world, having blinded their eyes with their intellectual concept as to the darkness, the old intellectual reasoning of the tree of knowledge, thus it is the veil of death. They cannot see when good cometh, but this great light, Bible said that shined in darkness, they that sat in the regions of the shadow of death, great light is sprang up unto them, and this great light in that they could not comprehend it. But the Bible said in the light shined in darkness, they could not comprehend it. So I just meant to say two or three things there so I could get into my thoughts. But let's take a little more time here and read St. Matthew's chapter 17. Jesus said in chapter 17, he is speaking Of the transfiguration, and after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elijah talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were so afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said, Arise and be not afraid. And when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. And as they came down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, saying, Tell the vision to no man until the Son of Man be risen again from the dead. Goes right on over to the 20th verse, where they had been trying to cast out a devil. That is the disciples, and they could not do it. And when they could not do it, Jesus did it. And then when they were alone, they said to him, Then came the disciples, the 19th verse, to Jesus apart and said, Why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, Because of your unbelief. Isn't that simple? You just didn't believe he'd leave when you told him to go. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, Remove hence to yonder's place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Can you imagine that? Nothing shall be impossible unto you. The Bible said, and nothing shall be impossible unto God. But here he says, nothing shall be impossible unto you. Why is that? Because you become God. All right. So then, what is this now? Jesus said, you are gods, but you die like men because of the lack of your understanding. And the lack of your understanding, then faith cometh by the understanding as to the word. And you don't know the word, so you don't understand. And when you find the word, then you do understand. When you do understand, then you believe. Then when you believe, you demonstrate that you are God. That reminds me of something. It comes across my mind. I remember Brother Branham's mother one time. I believe she wrote a little something. Word that she was washing clothes, and there was a huge serpent. She saw it like in a vision. It came up to her, and when it came up to her, it began to talk with her, kind of like the serpent did Eve. And when it began to talk, it said something about her son. It said, "Did you know that your son is God?" And said she was shocked. And said the serpent said, He is God. And then the serpent went away. Okay, now, see, here is what I'm trying to say. Jesus went on to say, And nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit, this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting. All right. So we say, what then are you saying, Brother Pike? Notice here in 17th chapter as to transology, he was transfigured before them. He shined as the sun, as when John saw him in the Revelation, said it was as though the sun shined within his strength. This great magnitude of that light, that understanding, the light of that great city, the light most precious. And it says here that a bright cloud overshadowed them. They were caught up in this, remember, with him. Now, as to the transfiguration, I say this again. The image was lost. When the image was lost, as to the garden, it was the God image. God, what has God done? He has come down all the way from the garden, all the way down to the stable. And that man fell from the garden to the beast level, and God put him on skins, coming all the way down to the stable. He was born in a manger. to show us that this world is a stable, born in the form of a human being. Inasmuch as the children were partakers of flesh and blood, he partook of the same. Whereas we brought it out before as to the rending of the original word, that he partook, and yet not of all, in that he did not partake of the blood, as to the original word rendering on it. So we find that from this staple, he began to mature as to this Christ on the inside. The Christ on the inside. As the Christ began to come forth, it was to be made manifest in the mortal genes of the Jesus. So he grew in grace. He grew in knowledge. He grew in stature. See, as to someone say, well, Brother Pike, you say that we grow in the grace of knowledge, grace and knowledge, or we grow in the grace of God. Why is it that we grow if God has given us all of this in Christ before the world ever was? We grow in it because without the knowledge of it, we don't have the measure of grace that we would have if we had the full knowledge. Because the grace comes by knowing. Faith comes by the hearing of the word, and the word comes first. How can you believe if you don't hear the word? How can he preach the word lest he be sent? He that God sendeth will speak God's word. And the Bible says, if these that had preached to you had been sent of God, then the people that heard them would have turned from their sins and iniquities. Because if these that have come to you had stood in my presence, they would have turned the people away from their iniquity. I am the word, the God to all generations that forgiveth all of your iniquities, that healeth all of your diseases. I cleanse you, I purge you, I make you to be what you are. All right, so then Jesus getting up from that manger as to growing in the grace. Not that he wasn't God from the beginning. Not that the Christ on the inside was not the full measure as to the full stature of God or the fullness of God dwelling within. But to be my example, he suffered the chastisement of God. Every son that cometh unto God, he chasteneth him forever. And the Bible said to be my example, he was chastened. He was bruised for my iniquities, and the chastisement of my peace was upon him by whose stripes I'm healed. And though he was a son, yet learned he obedience by the things he suffered. Therefore, being made perfect, he became the author and the finisher of our salvation. Or as it was said when Jesus spoke, he said, today, go tell Herod, or that fox, he said, that today I do cures, the third day I'll be perfected, or that is, I'll finish my works, and that'll be, it is finished, Father. So, in this we see that being our example, he went to the manger as a babe. The Christ began to magnify itself within him as he grew through the years. And as it is within you, as to the divine conception, I travail till Christ be formed within you. Christ on the inside is to this mind that was with God before the world ever was, has come into your human body, though you are a full-grown man, yet it has come into your body as to a woman or to a man. It has come into your body. Even in a little child, out of the mouth of sucklings and babes, God hath perfected praise. It hath come into your body, and it is releasing itself, magnify itself, a little at a time, and from understanding to understanding, from glory to glory, God is bringing you into Godship. He's bringing you into bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. It doth not yet appear what ye shall be like, but we know that when he doth appear as to the head of the many members of this body coming from heaven, that when he appears we shall see him as he is, for we shall be like him. And every man that hath this hope within himself as the body of Christ, then he purifies himself by faith, for God purifies the heart with faith, and he purifies himself even as he is pure. So, Jesus being the example, he walked every step with God, doing always the things that pleased God, called upon the great Spirit, the great eternal Spirit, from the going forth of the sun in the morning to the setting of the sun in the evening. Meditating in the laws of God day and night, keeping every jot and every tittle, and then being made perfect. The perfection as to the fulfillment of the law of every jot and every tittle, then the righteousness of that perfection was given to me as to whatever measure I will allow it to come into my heart. And so I am as to body, soul, and spirit in the presence of Almighty God. So then I find that Jesus walked every step until he went into glory with Moses and Elijah and finished my diplomacy and made me as to what I am, therefore being made perfect. I am now the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Members in particular, no man can lay anything to the charge of God's elect such as I am. And the Bible said elect according to what he foreknew of me. And the Bible teaches that as a Christian, we keep ourselves as to the seal of the Holy Spirit, the inner man, and darkness can't get near that light that has sealed our spirit. And that we are sealed as to the inner man unto the day of the change, as to the body, as to the redemption of the body. And that inwardly we're already eternal. Already everything is finished. Sanctified, justified, glorified, perfected forever, without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish. No one can lay anything to our charge. Every mouth that riseth against thee in the day of judgment, I will condemn it, or you shall condemn it. See, because you are my elect, you are my work unto perfection, you are my work in Christ Jesus unto good works. And now you are mine, and I've sent my spirit into your heart, crying, Abba Father. The Son's spirit is now in your spirit. And the Christ is to the life that was in the body of Jesus. When the body is to the Son that was given up, that Christ stepped into you. And now, as to a sonship, first brother among many brethren, so are you members as to the sonship and the body of Jesus, as to his bride, as to the membership to the body. Bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. He being the head of all things as to the church. This Christ on the inside now seeks to make himself manifest in your human body. Because that's what it's all about. He completed the works from the foundation of the world as in the foreknowledge. Manifested at Calvary. We comprehend it as to the mind of Christ within us, revealing it to us. Till the fullness of that mind is to the transformation of the mind is from glory to glory until finally it is no longer we that live but Christ that lives, that Christ within us, made manifest in the mortal genes as even to the dying of Christ Jesus, that as he was raised up from the dead and changed into this glorified body, having finished our diplomacy, going to glory, standing between Moses and Elijah, now we have through him rose up from this fallen state of death as a little one that knew nothing of God. Suddenly we are born of God. This life is within us. We've started our journey as to the change of this body, which takes our efforts as to make manifest in our mortal genes what he hath already placed within our hearts as to the treasure. As I said of Brother Taylor, you've got to move, you've got to write, you've got to yield, you've got to transform of the mind, you've got to conform, you've got to surrender as through obedience to the word. See, because you already have this heavenly treasure in your earthen vessel, your inner man is already sealed to perfection, but your outer man is still in the image of the old devil and the bastard child, and you're still playing with painting the lips and painting the eyebrows and pumping the muscles and looking pretty in pretty clothes and all these other things. You're subject to these vanities by your human senses, as the five senses of the human body, and you're relative to that. And if you give into that, then are you the bond's child, because your mind is there. But in that ye are in the world, you're not of the world, because you don't have the love of the world in you. And you can have all the natural carnal things, as Paul said, sowing spiritual things, I reap your carnal, others partakers, am I not the more? So then we have these things. for he's given us all things. See, but though we have these, though we use these, we honor God with them, we do not walk after the flesh. We do not war after the flesh. We are not in the flesh. Though we have all these things, yet, according to the Bible, we cannot be carnally minded. Have the world of all carnality, as all carnal creation. But you cannot be carnally minded. Adam and Eve, here's the beautiful garden. It's beautiful. From the dust thou art, to the dust thou shalt return. Enjoy the fruits of it. Dress the trees. All is yours, and you're the supreme rulers. But never at any time get carnally minded. Don't get your mind on the beast and the serpent and on the trees and your mind on the species of the waters and of the stars and moon, as he told in the Old Testament. Don't worship those things. That's not the object of worship. Christ Jesus is the object of worship. Don't be entangled with the yoke of bondage. See, don't do that. Paul said, will ye, after that you've come to the knowledge of God, be again entangled with the yoke of bondage as to desire the beggarly elements of the world? When Paul said, as to the heavenly things that I saw when I was caught up into the third heaven, that these things are not to be compared to those great things. Not even the body that you think is so handsome or beautiful that you have in your youth. There's no comparison with that. Jesus is our body. As to the body we are, we then outshine the brightness of the noonday. Even the sun that brightens the whole world is dim compared to us. So then here we are in the radiance of God's glory, and it's hid on the inside, and the veil of this cloud of night into this cloud of doubt is about to dissipate. And with this coming light, the radiance will be so great that we'll be transformed and transformated, translated, transfigured into that wonderful celestial-like being of the glory of the penetration of this arama of beautiful colors, as to the rainbow of that covenant within, as to the revealing of the ark of that covenant that's within. God has rent the veil in two. Lo, he is the mighty conqueror, since he hath rent the veil in two. And you, being the body of Jesus Christ, that's accredited to you as he is, so are you. You have rent the veil in two. You have withdrawn, as Paul said, keeping under the body, bringing the body into subjection by putting a bridle on the tongue. You have rent the veil in two because of his strength. And your body is now dead, separated from your spirit, buried in water baptism in the lovely name of Jesus. Your spirit is to the angelic being, cares no more for your natural body, as to the face, as to the lust, as to the feelings, as to the senses, as to the exuberance, as to the benefits of the natural, as to project self. But your spirit has gone back to God who gave it. And you are in heaven. Jesus said, the Son of Man who is in heaven. Therefore you are in heaven. So you finished your diplomacy in Christ, and you are now there as to where Moses and Elijah are. That is, you are between the covering cherubs. See, and the lost image, the image that was lost through the fall, the image in which Adam was made, as to what image we would say, come, let us make man in our own image. Why would he do that? Someone would say, Brother Pike, don't you know that you are a blasphemer? When you talk about being in Christ's stead, he that God sendeth will speak God's word. What image was we made in the beginning? Was it then the beast image? As to the image of what you are now, in that you're shamefaced, as with the veil of your human understanding, as to the veil of death, as to that veil that Rebecca had until she went into the secret chambers, that the beauty of her countenance might be revealed as to her companion? See, that is to say, what image was I made in? The Bible said, therefore being made in the image of God. For the Bible said he was the express image of God. Adam was made in that image, and Adam was, as to the express image of God, as to that thing, as to the illumination, but not born of it. See, and the image that was lost was he that came to us, even Christ. As the Spirit said, as to this image of the body, as to the Son, come, let us make man in your image or our image. Come and let us make man in that image. And so then the body is the temple of the Lord. It's not to be destroyed, but there is a natural body, there is a spiritual body. As ye have borne the image of the earthly as to the terrestrial, as to the fall, so shall ye bear the image of the celestial as to the heavenly, as to the resurrection, as to him that appeared in glory. Thus God has finished this for you, and ye are now no longer in the earth as the spirit being in the flesh, but in heaven, for you made it into glory. As to the body of the Lord Jesus, as he is, so are you. Therefore he stood and appeared in glory. So then are ye in glory. So then are ye in heaven. Rejoice ye that are in heaven. Rejoice forevermore. For ye're not in the flesh. You're not of the world. I've chosen you out of the flesh. I've hid you with Christ in God. For as he is, so are ye in him. As to the image that was lost in the first man Adam, the second man Adam brought it back. I'm no longer as I was as to that fallen one as the bone and flesh of Adam. I'm divorced from that one as to that that stole me away from my companion as to the body of Adam, as to Eve, as to the beast taking her away. And now I'm divorced by death, and I'm no longer married to that. I'm now married unto another. Even the resurrected one is to be delivered for the offenses, so the death was on the divorce. As God even said to Israel, I put you away by giving you a writing of divorce. And so then now I am resurrected to the newness of life, and I am now bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. I am now in the sight of God forever and eternally, that wonderful one that stands between the covering cherubs, even the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, in that heaven is his throne, earth is his footstool, and he that overcometh shall sit down in the throne with me, as to the body sitting down in the throne, as the body members in particular, in the throne, for heaven is my throne. And shall sit down in the throne with me, even as I overcome and sit down in the throne of my Father. Well, that is to say, the image, I was made in the image of God. Therefore, being made in the image of God, as to now that image having come back and returned to me, so then am I in the image of God. Then it is not I that liveth, but Christ that liveth within me. And the life I now live, I live with the Son of God, because I am bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. And as Paul said concerning Christ, such a man of such one anew, caught up into the third heaven as to this revelation is coming forth now. As to the third revelation, as we would say, or the revelation, which is the mind of Almighty God, the heavenly treasure that's in the earthen vessels. For now is made known unto the church the manifold wisdom of God that said, let there be, and so it was. And to you, nothing is impossible. But can I get you to accept that? Can I get you to accept that? Jesus said so, then the works was finished from the foundation of the world. And all I do is ask you to believe what I'm saying. That's faith. And if you believe that all this is done and finished, go do what you will, say what you will. So be it unto you according to your faith. All right, so then in this, we find that why should we be as to shame face, as to draw back, to feel that we blaspheme? They said, and we'll kill you. And he said, for what reason? You being a man, make yourself God? Of course we'll kill you for this. And yet the Bible said he was our example that we should follow in his steps. And as he is, so are we in him. He said, me and my Father, we're one. And as he is, so are we in him. As to claim this by faith, in that he was the Word, and that's the Word, and I believe the Word. And through the transformation of the mind, thus we become, as to this life of Christ within, being made manifest in our mortal genes. So then, I am not as that within the veil, for the veil is rent at Calvary, it's gone. And the veil is rent in twain, so my bodily veil is gone, folded up, laid away. I am now as them, as to the Spirit, in the Spirit, the last man Adam, a quickening spirit. And I am now as to the Shekinah glory, beholding his face as this wisdom or light of glory in his unveiled face, that we might be partakers of it and transformed or changed into this very image. That is to say, what image? The image in which I was made. What image is that? The express image of God. The word expressed there as to the given image. Or the very likeness or you sent it express. All right. So then he is the expression of God. He came to express God. Not in measure, whereas you and I express God in measure to this extent. that were ordained to the full measure, of the full stature, of the perfect man Christ Jesus, going on to the full measure or to the full reward. Which is, of course, when you say full reward, Christ was the fullness of God in Jesus. Are you going on to the fullness of Christ, that it be not you living, but Christ? And Paul said, I don't say that I've obtained unto this high calling of being God made manifest in the flesh, as being one with my master as to the perfection. But this I do, since I've caught a glimpse of it, I forget all those things that are behind. I'm pressing forward to the prize and the mark of this high calling in Christ Jesus, to overcome, as we say, and sit down in the throne with him, and that everyone that be perfect shall be as his master. No man shall be above his master, for he is above all. No one can obtain unto that height except through him. But unselfishly has given us of him own self. So then what are we saying? If I was made in that image, come, let us make man in our own image. Wasn't I in that image as Adam, who was called the Son of God, before he fell from the garden? As an Adam, so I would have been, because that's the way he made me. And so then Adam had to come back, because I was made in Adam. And so Adam came back. And as to Adam, there came my image. And as in Adam, even the second time, as we say, coming. Or the second man, Adam, or that is Adam coming as he was in his originality, even the image as to that which he was made in as of to God. So then are we in Adam as to restore to the God image. And the image that was lost in Adam and the fall, in that we are as in Adam, all die as to him that is the fallen one, having borne the image of the earthly, so have we that tabernacle down the heavens. For Jesus said, I go away, and if I go away, I'll come again. And he said to them that look for me the second time, I will come again, and I go away. He said, I come again to them that look for me, as to the eyes of understanding being enlightened. For the world shall not see me, nor see good when it comes. Their eyes being blind by intellectual darkness of that spirit of the old tree of knowledge. But ye of light, seeing as the unveil on this side of Calvary, up from the grave he arose, with a mighty triumph over his foe, put to shame all the powers of dignitaries and rulers by triumphing over them to the highest place, putting them all under his feet to be the prince of princes. Okay, so then, now, I am restored then. All I have to do is believe it. The body is there. All I have to do is change it like Enoch did, walk with God 300 years. And before knowledge, there it was with, in the foreknowledge before the world ever was. So then, the body, the image has come back. The first man, Adam, which is the beast, as to the fallen one, is gone. Adam, who was in the originality, the Son of God, now he is. And that forevermore, for he was not in the transgression to begin. The woman was in the transgression as being the weaker one, as to the body, which means as to the Adam that is, as to the natural, and Adam all dies to the woman. She was the one. She gave place to it. But then Adam and her being one, when she was with him as into sonship, so then it was sonship and they were one. But when he surrendered his sonship as to go her way, he become one with her as to the fall, as to the feminine gender and the feminine side of it, which means as to the body of the beast. And to recover, she has to be brought back to him. And to do that, first, the birth, then through the purification, and then returning to her husband, as Israel shows this going out at Calvary to the rejection, that the child might come in as to the birth, being caught up to the throne, so the body as to the wound in the side, as the cleft of the rock in the days of Moses, seeing the hind part is from Calvary all the way back to the garden of which Moses wrote up. But now the veil is gone, and that veil that was over his face is to that Shekinah, that we could not look steadfastly unto, as to the end of that, now abolished, finding fault with that, the veil is now gone. Christ has stepped out of the Jesus part as to Moses, that is to the prophet, like unto Moses, and now here he is. All right, so then when we see him as he is, as through eyes of understanding, we're changed into that glory. So their eyes were beholden. Though he was in their midst, they could not see him until the scales fell as it was from Paul's eyes. Much learning, much religion, knowed all about it. Didn't know nothing. Was blind. The Bible said in the world, they are lukewarm, blind, ignorant, having a name as to a church name, a religious name that they live, and yet they're dead. Some twice dead as to dead in the spirit, plucked up by the roots. No hopes, already transgressed, gone over the deadline. So, then we know that when the Jew went out, as to the opening of the matric of Calvary, as to the wound of Mother Earth, he heard the veil open and out stepped the Christ, as to the veil being rent in twain. In this, that was the child, and as the Christ went up, as to the resurrection, so are we. He went up to appear in the presence of the Father. So then are we in the presence of the Father. And that when the member went up as to the head breaking forth from the matric at the beginning of the church ages, so then as to penetrating the spheres, then he went up. And there the head is. As to that, then is when the physician can take hold of the child and the travail is over. Because until the head appears, then it means the travail for the mother. No one can help. And so he travailed for us. And then after that is to the angelic host. He appeared in their presence, as we would say, the nurses and whatever you know. And as to the medical staff, thou appearing, and as to the physicians, as to heal thyself, physician. And from Calvary, as to the opening of the matric, as to the water, the blood, and the spirit, as to the birth, as in the natural, so in the spiritual. So then with the coming forth of this at Calvary, to repent of our sins, to be baptized in the water, as to not have a still birth, but as to the child, we say it's new, a new thing, or brand spanking new. So they spank the life into him. Well, that is to say, here we revive him. All right, so then we see coming all the way down, here is the head up there, which means we made it. We made it. All right, so with that, now the physicians, as to those of the church age messengers, working with the child as to the birth, as to the continuation, down to the end, as to the 10 toes, the door open, and the child is caught up in heaven. So the Jews, as to the travail, as to the members of that Jesus head, when that head went out of the presence of God as to rejection, the membership as the scapegoat to the world went out, as to many, many things, we could say that great is the mystery of God, has been a stood of the mystery. But here we know then that the Jews went out, and the 483 as to the 7, the opening of the matric, and up went the child. So then we being the child, as to the Christ, the spiritual Jew, we dwell then in a spiritual world. We are in a spiritual realm. We are in heaven. And so then at the end of the church ages, thus it is said, and the child appears as John the Beloved. That revelation we brought down the other night, that if it was the revelator, Paul coming down here in the church ages as to stand in the midst of the candlesticks, not him living but Christ, then as to John the revelator, here the revelation is transferred over to John as John beholds Paul. All that is to say the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. There are many things that could be said there, but we're not going to try to get into that. I'm just going to finish a little thought here, and that is, folks, if he's caught up, then so are we. The door is open, and the church ages is a heavenly age, and here are we that dwell in heaven. So are we to rejoice forevermore. We are they that dwell in heaven. Now, it's getting real late, as down to the end of the age, and the Gentile days is about finished, and the mysteries of God are coming to a finish. And now, down at the end, the faith of them as to whom it is given to know the mysteries, and that it's not given to them to know without. Now the faith of that mind is of to the mystery mind. Then they will have that, not as to join a church, but as to transformate into heaven, because you're on a journey from another country as to Egypt to Canaan by the way of the wilderness of the intellectual, wondering where there is both mind as to the mind of Christ as the tree of life, and the mind of the intellectuals, the tree of knowledge as to the accusation, the old serpent's mind, and you're going through these changes and transformation, coming on through as to the darkness, as to the twilight, coming right on in as to the transformation of mind till finally you've crossed the intellectual Jordan of that old serpentine thing that come from the tree of knowledge, and you find yourself in the mind of Christ as to the words of spirit and life, as to the tree of life in our midst, and so are we. As he is, so are we in him, and we're branches of this tree. I am the vine. My Father, he's the husbandman, and ye are the branches. If you abide in me, you bring forth much fruit. So then we see that our diplomacy is finished, and we are now in the wonderful world of God. Let's give him a hand. Somebody say hallelujah. All right, let's stand together. I know you're tired. I'm tired too, but let's stand together and let's praise the Lord for just a little bit. Now and then there are reflectors that will reflect this. As the sun reflects the sun, the moon reflects the sun, and so does the light go to two kind of stars. One that's made of nickel and rock that is a reflector. The other is a burning light as the sun shines, even as the day star. Being children of the sun, while the others are children of the moon, is in that there are reflectors. And they will fall from heaven, and the moon also would turn to blood of pieces. These kind of things, and the fire and the brimstone will come. But as to you that are sons, you shall never go out. For light is that is eternal, that will never burn out. Not children of the night, but of the day. Others reflect, but they will never conceive. As to this divinity, they will never understand. Though they hear in their eyes of understanding, they cannot know, hearing with their ears, they do not hear, because he that hath an ear is to the church, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. But they hear what the man is saying as to the vocabulary expression. And having eyes, they see, and yet they see not. For as Jesus said, seeing always the things that my heavenly Father does. See, they do not see as to the Spirit. Right, let's sing together, can we? Can we sing that song, I Love Him, Brother Taylor?
I love him.
Do you love him?
I love him.
The Bible said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. My commandments is not grievous. He said, I write that you should love one another.
For he purchased my salvation on Calvary's
tree. Sing that with me now.
For I love him. I love him, all because that he first loved me, and he purchased my salvation on Calvary's.
Let's sing this little chorus. The altars are open.
Amazing grace.
Can you sing that with me?
How sweet the sound, saved a wretch like me. For I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I can see. For it was grace that taught my heart to fear, and it was grace my fears relieved. Oh, how precious did that grace appeared. It was the hour that I first believed. And when this battle is over, I'm going to wear a crown. I'm going to wear a crown. I'm going to wear a crown, for when this battle is over, I'm going to wear a crown in the new Jerusalem. We'll wear a crown, we'll wear a crown, wear the bright and shiny crown. Oh, when this battle is over, gonna wear a crown in the new Jerusalem.
Hallelujah. I was just thinking, it came across my mind that your properties is paid for over in Jerusalem. Some of you that wasn't here the other day, it's all paid for. As far as I know, there's nothing else owing on it. It's your properties. Now, I'm going to sing this little chorus. Be careful today as you go to lunch and the different things you do. Jesus said, watch and pray. Thine adversary Satan goeth about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And you people are coming to that part, as to that thing, as to the head of the nation, as to the mind, as to be in the head, as to know and to share with others. And in that you are, Satan will be bidden high for your soul. Peter was to be given the keys to the kingdom, and Jesus said of Peter that Satan has sought to sift thee even as wheat. And they're going to say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. But the Bible said, be exceedingly glad and leap for joy, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets before you. But woe unto that man that everybody speaks well of, for they did that to the false prophets. And Satan is trying to kill this out and blemish this, because he doesn't want this to come forth. It's the destruction of the kingdom of Satan, the end of him, and he doesn't want this to come forth. So he's going to do anything he can to harm you. So you pray and believe. Don't be in between. Get on one side or another. For being in between, you'll become lukewarm. Don't stay away from the house of the Lord, as the manner of some is, the Bible said. But exhort each other the more as you see the day approaching. And as you do this, then be the more steadfast. For the Bible said your proof of eternal life is that you want to be with the brethren, because you love the brethren. Then you know that you pass from death unto life. And so in doing these, you want to be sure that whatever you do, that you pray, that you watch, that you stay with the brethren. And the Bible said in the early church they were together, and they continued together, and they steadfastly, breaking bread from house to house, continued in the apostles' doctrine. And you do this, and you love one another, and you walk together. See, because we are the body, members in particular, we're not divided as to secular, as to doing our own thing and going off by our own self. That's not right. That's not God. That's the mind of self-esteem, and that's Satan. Though it may be very religious, it's Cain. You don't want to do that. It's not God when you want to be a celebrity and be the things of this world, knowing that the serpent has climbed up into the upper lintel, and that is Satan with the glamour and glitter of the world. But we are already in the upper lintel as Christ Jesus, even higher above Satan. See, we are in the third heaven, and we are God's. And we're his body and bone and members in particular, as the head of all nations. And all the world is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. And the government is to be upon your shoulders, see, to control. For as is declared in the kingdoms of this world, have become the kingdoms of our God and of his Christ. And he shall reign forever and forever. All right, let's sing this book chorus. Even as the flag that went up to Mr. Reagan's, Mr. Bush coming in. This song, I will praise him.
I will praise him. My heart will praise him. Praise.
sinners. Let us give Him glory, cause He paid for more. His blood has washed away. Let's stand once again together now. And the Bible said, examine yourselves and see if you be in the faith. Faith that by the hearing of the word. But ask Brother Lynn Lundeboe if he'll come up and dismiss us. Praise the Lamb for sinners blind. Can you sing that with me? Let us give Him glory. The Bible said, look up, for thy redemption draweth nigh. And we sang that little song, redemption. Your redemption is near at hand. One more time together. So I will praise Him. My heart will praise Him. Praise the Lamb for sinners. Can you close your eyes? Lift your hands up. Let us give